I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Dark and rainy and scary. Someone hold me. 613. Welcome to show number 1215. So we've done 45 shows in this building. It's a lot.
I feel like it's a lot more than that.
Well, there's a couple more, but Steve didn't host them, so we don't count the ones that Steve doesn't host.
There's an asterisk.
Seems like we just got here. No, just me?
I feel like it's like 175.
Well, the nation's on the edge of its seat this morning. The great Apple test will come to a conclusion this morning. The Apple off.
I'm calling it the decision.
All right, that's good.
At 9:40.
Do we have network coverage? Yeah, all the networks are covered.
Channel 5 is going to be here, Channel 2.
Okay, good.
Fox was on the fence, Channel 9, obviously.
What about Univision, so our Hispanic friends will understand?
You know what? I'm not sure.
How do you say apple in Spanish? Le apple? La apple? La apolo.
I don't know.
Mantequilla?
Manzana? That's Italian, isn't it?
Oh, manzana.
It's 6:14, and amongst the big news of yesterday is the passing of Burt Reynolds. Well, we'll take it up to the top six at six. But the amazing thing is the movies he didn't take. I remember seeing him on The Tonight Show going, you know, I should probably take this acting thing a little more seriously. And the list of movies he turned down is pretty crazy. But when I was a kid, and Dave, when you were, you know, in your 30s, there was nobody cooler than Burt Reynolds.
Nope.
He was it. And listen, he was a movie star, and the old school movie star. They don't make him like that anymore, Dave.
No, they don't.
There was a picture of circulating of him that I've never seen before of naked.
Oh, you never saw that?
No.
The famous Cosmo. Was it Cosmo?
Cosmo spread on a rug, a bearskin rug.
It was like very hairy. The ESPN body issue before the ESPN body issue. But he was very nice to look at.
He was a very handsome fella. And he had later in the late 70s, early 80s, the greatest hairpiece on history, because it actually looked like his head. And maybe the only hairpiece ever that actually worked. So I think Santo and I discussed that at one point, because Santo thought I should get a piece. And I said, no, bald works for me.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think all the tributes that I've seen have been really good. I'm just bummed that Stroker Ace doesn't get more attention. The NASCAR-themed
was that your favorite
early
Stroker
80s
Ace?
Movie that Burt Reynolds did with Lonnie Anderson was in that film?
Yeah, I believe that's where he met her, and then he married her.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See? How does that not make the story? Stroker Ace should be all over the Burt Reynolds.
Well, they had a hideously ugly divorce. Maybe that was it. So, all right, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Burt Reynolds passes delighted audiences for five movie decades. Passed away at 82 yesterday. Here's some movies he didn't do. He turned down Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
The Jack Nicholson role.
Smart.
He turned down Star Wars. Yeah. Han Solo.
Not so smart.
Well, he would have been a good Han Solo.
He would have been a good Han Solo.
He would have been a good Han Solo.
He turned down Die Hard.
He would now, not it's hard have been a good... I think he would have been terrible.
Well, it's hard to imagine Die Hard without Bruce Willis.
You can try get me. Try get me. I'm up here.
Exactly. Yeah. Norm MacDonald doing all his stunts. And I know I'm forgetting a couple, but he also supposedly turned down The Godfather. But there's a side story to that, that Marlon Brando said, if he does The Godfather, I'm out. He's the worst thing there is about actors. Mm. And, of course, Marlon Brando, a lot of people might have a couple negative views on him. But that's just some of the movies he didn't do. He was nothing but fun to movie audience. And, Dave, like I said, if you saw a movie, this is a movie star. If you saw a movie with Burt Reynolds' name on it, you went to see it.
No question. No question. One of my favorite movies still is The Longest Yard, the original Longest Yard.
Great. The remakes are stupid, but it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, tremendous. Was that the one of the first R-rated movies you ever saw?
No, I think I was well beyond seeing my first at that point, Steve.
Yeah. I figured I'd go high end for you. I might as well go low end once in a while.
I appreciate that.
I don't
nice
think
try.
They rated movies back when
Oh, come on, Mary. Yes, they
prior
did.
To the MPA.
I know you're in the middle of this. I just, Mayra from Puerto Rico is listening, and she said manzana is apple and mantequilla is butter.
How did you know that, Super Joe? Did you take Spanish in high school, or are you partly Hispanic, or what's up?
Like most of my homework growing up, I cheated and got the answer from Bennett.
Oh. So Bennett's been your guy throughout?
Indeed.
Okay. By the way, will you and Pete pull some clips from Burt Reynolds' movies? Just
no.
Give me a couple of funny ones. And also Norm MacDonald doing Burt Reynolds from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I'll do that one.
On Jeopardy?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Gum-smacking Norm MacDonald. So we'll play some Burt Reynolds later on. Next. At a Montana rally, and we got to play this clip too, Donald Trump spent a lot of time talking about the impeachment. We'll get to that. But Trump lauded the progress of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings in the Senate before he started talking about impeachment. There was a moment yesterday where Cory Booker, who a lot of people think is going to run for president, kind of stepped in it just a little bit. Cory Booker is the senator from New Jersey, and he said, look, I might get kicked out of the Senate for this. But I'm telling you right now, I want these emails released, and I'm releasing emails that are classified, and I'm in a lot of trouble here. At one point, I think he even said, I'm Spartacus. And then a little bit later on, the Bush White House attorney said, no, well, you maybe you're Spartacus, but we told you you could release those emails last night. So the risk was a little less than perceived.
Well, come on.
Well, come on what?
So why did John Cornyn and him get into it during the hearing then? If they were allowed to release those emails.
Steve, I'm not making it up. Look it up.
No, well, they were allowed I'm telling you that John Cornyn
threatened during the hearing. Steve, yeah. I saw the Cornyn piece.
Okay.
You look it up. Cornyn did get after him. There's a slight chance Cornyn didn't know what I just said.
That's what.
So maybe so therefore,
he blocked it. The
stunt.
Senate blocked it. The
I'm
senator,
sorry?
Maybe the senator Corey. Blocked it, even though the Bush White House was like, you can have him. But it still was the old
right.
Look, committee chairman. To it.
Look, yeah. He knew. Cory Booker knew he could release him. It was a stunt. That's
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Next.
Go Bears!
Go Cats. Northwestern University has soared past its 5-year capital campaign goal months ahead of schedule and now has a new target. Anyone know how much they're looking to raise? It's a big number. $5 billion.
What?
Not Dr. Evil. $5 billion. The school launched the We Will, the campaign for Northwestern in 2014, wanted to raise $3.75 billion in 5 years. It's the most ambitious campaign among local universities at the time, until the UFC announced a $4.5 billion drive 2 months later. The Southside School has since raised its target to $5 billion. So basically, it's University of Chicago versus Northwestern trying to get to $5 billion first.
As it should be.
So, Dave, how many billions are you contributing as an alumnus?
Well, I don't want to take full credit for that.
Good chunk. Good chunk of it's in it money.
I can't really specify how much, but certainly I will do my part.
See, the problem is you went all 4 years.
Yes.
See, when I left Ithaca College after 1 year, I only donate a quarter of what I would.
That seems fair.
Yeah. And boy, if you get to Ithaca College in upstate New York, do go see my statue. They only finished a quarter of it. Yeah, it's just above the feet, right around the center of my shin.
Is there any news on the capital campaign for Phoenix Online? Is that not?
That's a good point. I don't know.
No, I just wanted to be fair.
Number.
I got Northwestern.
And everyone listening should know that Dave is wearing purple, of course, because it's the Cats have a game this weekend.
Yeah.
That's how he rolls.
I was going to wear my jersey, but I thought that might be going too far.
Chicks dig guys in jerseys.
Yeah.
Game time tomorrow?
Game time's 11 o'clock.
What time are you doing a pregame?
10:30, but John Williams will be out there early on, and he will be live at 9:30, I believe.
Oh, he's going to broadcast.
He's going to the game, but he's going to be broadcasting along with Lou will be here, and John will be there. And
okay, good.
To get you ready for it.
Excellent. Next.
Go Cats.
Amid a shortage of EpiPens, the Deerfield-based Walgreens Corporation, you may have heard of them, It's partnering with a competing drug maker to make it easier for consumers across the country to get its devices. AuviQ's, AUVI-Q's, devices used to inject epinephrine to counter severe allergic reactions are available for the first time at Walgreens stores nationwide. Before, consumers seeking AuviQ's mostly got them through the mail, and being able to get them over the counter is way more convenient, obviously. Next.
Go Bears!
Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke walked out of Cook County Jail Thursday after a judge gave him a slap on the wrist bond hike for giving media interviews in violation of a longstanding gag order. Really got a break there. I mean, it could have been uglier. So,
yeah.
And there's this. A parade of denials over the anonymous op-ed. One by one, top officials lined up yesterday to say they had nothing to do with the unsigned essay in the New York Times. It was sharply critical of the president. Rand Paul, who apparently, when he got tackled in his own lawn, really hit his head, because he is unidentifiable compared to the guy he was 5 years ago, even. Mm-hmm. And Rand Paul supposedly got together with Trump and said, you know what you ought to do is lie detectors. Lie detectors for everybody.
Rand Paul, the civil libertarian.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Exactly. Yeah. Mr. Civil Libertarian. And the, by the way, a time or two has probably brought up First Amendment rights in relation to free speech. And not that it would be bad as far as with morale at the White House, because I'm sure there isn't any. If you go and you slap lie detectors on everybody. Yeah. So far, it hasn't been done.
And the denials, just a little reminder of history. How long did Deep Throat deny publicly, and how many times?
About 30 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Mark Felt, I don't think, admitted it till about a year before he died, exactly. Right? Something like that? All right, there you go. That's your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, Steve Cochran. Do you remember when your kids were little, sometimes you'd tell them to go to bed and then they would stay up late, and then you found out that they stayed up late and then you worried that they would be so tired the next day?
Yep.
One of the kids stayed out too late last night.
Which one? Let's out him.
Justin Kaufman.
Yep.
I was out too. You're not going to believe this, Steve.
And wait. And he gave away our secrets.
All of them?
Well, really the only three that matter when it comes to hosting a radio show. He right. told the audience last night at the interview show that's sponsored by, or that is hosted by Mark Baser.
At the Hideout.
At the Hideout, which is very fun and entertaining. Justin Kaufman was sort of the, what would you say? He was the opening act.
Was he funny?
Funny bit at the
He
top.
Was funny. Okay. And he said, you know, there's really only three questions you need when you're hosting a radio show.
And those questions are?
The three questions are, what's the ethnicity of your last name?
Okay.
What's the website?
Mm-hmm.
And give me the website one more time.
Those are nerds.
That was funny.
I mean, that's every the radio. Be able that's to do this.
Yeah, that's funny.
Steve, when you asked Lou, was Justin funny? Lou answered in the surprising, he was.
He was funny.
Shocking.
I stayed out.
We're Lou, you're shocked.
Not, Lou left before I did. I stayed out. You guys, I mean, I'm burning the midnight oil. I was out till 9:45.
Oh my god!
I mean,
I left at
9:45 in morning show time is 2 a.m.
I know. Yeah. It was late. I told
and I was leaving. I go, you should be going home. And then he sort of looked at me and said, "Okay, Dad."
And then he couldn't fall asleep either.
Right.
It was just tumbleweeds on the streets. I was like, "What time is it?"
Well, but you got to remember how you know, at Justin's age, Lou, you and I are old enough where we got to go home to pee.
Right.
You know, and that could take hours.
Right, and then get up again and go do that again.
Yeah. It's Lou's First Call, and standing by is Bill in Naperville. What is your issue, Bill?
Hi, I have a gutter question.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. Yes, what's your gutter question?
Okay, do I actually need the top set of gutters on my house?
The top set?
I just checked out the situation.
Okay.
I've got a... 1.5-story house with a dormer and a walkout basement in back.
Okay.
The gutters on top of the dormer simply collect the water, go to the side, go to a downspout, and then go to the gutter for the main part of the roof. And I don't really see what value they do. other than concentrating the water and increasing the chance of an overflow in the gutters?
Sounds like he has a water slide. Is that a water slide? Are you living in a water park, Bill?
It's sort of like a water park. Well,
almost.
Couple things is that if you were to remove the gutters on the upper roof, now all the water that would concentrate and come off the roof would create this line that would just cascade off the side of the home, and you'd get some splashing against the siding and or flashing of what sticks up on that upper level, the walls from there. You can also tend to get a line, a mark, a discoloration on the roof because of that water running on there, you know, constantly. So the issue really that gutter and that downspout are designed to, yes, collect the water and direct it, but also keep it from splashing up against what will be pretty close to the flashing where the wall meets the roof and potentially keeping it from creating a leak. Now, you could add an additional downspout if you're worried about water overflowing at that point or some kind of clog, which would then direct it on the other side as well. But typically it's there to prevent any leaking from flashing.
How big a deal is it to create another slide?
Not big. Not a big deal. Okay. A gutter roofing company comes out and pops in a lookout, a new set of elbows, and a downspout, and it's really a quick job. Once the contractor shows up there with everything they need, they can probably knock it out in half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, if you mention Lou's name, that's free.
Free.
He wins, Bill does. An April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. Before we go to the lightning round, Sandberg here saved Dave Ennett's life this week.
Oh, wow.
In sort of a Miss Fix-It way.
Oh.
So let's go live to Miss Fix-It. What did you do?
Dave Ennett had a flat tire, Lou, coming to work the other day. There's some spiky metal thing that attacked his tire.
Yeah, Dave described it as a spike, like it was a Game of Thrones attack.
It is. It did look like something from Ninja Turtles, like that you would a five pointy star thing that got bent around his tire.
Oh wow!
So he
really,
was,
yes.
Yeah, it was. It's a crazy
some sort
thing.
Of weapon, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, Pete's got pumpernickel on his front step, and you got Chinese Death Stars being
that's
thrown
what
at
it
you.
Was,
what's
the Death
going
Star,
on?
Yeah,
Lee is,
so.
The ghost of Bruce Lee is hanging out by your house.
So, you know, Lou, I took Dave to buy some Fix-A-Flat, and then I videoed Dave putting the Fix-A-Flat into his tire.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know this story. I thought, like, you jacked up the car, you handled the lug wrench. I thought that was going on.
No. I do not have a spare in this car.
Oh.
And so we stopped at a hardware store, and I ran in and got the Fix-A-Flat.
A lot of cars don't have spares now.
Right.
No. I mean, this never has had a spare.
I mean, you open up
where... It's not
where,
built for a spare.
You open up where the spare would be, and there's a note that
the
says,
damage
call
to the tire,
dealer.
David, was so bad that you couldn't drive on it because... The ones
would,
that don't
I mean,
have spares are designed to drive on.
Well, yeah, if I had a spare, I could have. But
the
tire itself could not be driven on.
Oh.
No, I mean, we put air in it and the Fix-A-Flat, and I could hear the air
coming
as I was pumping more air in, the hissing sound. So I was able to inflate it ever so slightly so I could drive a few miles and got a new tire.
Well, am I giving Sandberg too much credit? I said she saved your life.
No, I think she did save my life.
I did save his life. And then
well, it'd be great if you videoed this for the web.
I did. There happens to be a video at WGNradio.com.
What?
Also on our Facebook page. And then I drove Dave home, where Dave kept insisting that I drop him off at places and not actually drive him to his house. He lives near me, and I refused. He's like, just drop me at the corner.
Like he didn't want, Mom, don't drop me off. I don't want them to see me.
I was trying to save Mary a few minutes. She'd gone way out of her way.
Right.
And but I do want to thank the guys at the Shell at Irving Park in Pulaski for letting me leave my car there while I came in and did the show.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's so nice.
Hey, Mary, why don't you go ahead and give us that website one more time?
WGNradio.com.
See? See?
It does work.
And explain the run flat tires, Lou.
I'm sorry?
Explain the run flat tires.
Well, so run flat tires are designed with most cars that don't have spares. If you were to get a flat, the outer portion of the tire is so hard that if it's not damaged like the sidewall, which it sounds like Dave's was the sidewall, you can drive typically up to 50 miles on those tires at up to about 35, 40 miles
per hour. Yeah, and I have four run flat tires. That's how I drive now. Yes. I just keep them on it.
There you go.
Yeah. We only have time for one lightning round question. Here's the lightning. With all the rain that we've had and more rain coming today, is there anything we ought to be doing?
Yeah, I would really like people to check there. I'm going to talk this morning on WGN television about your sump pumps and pumps in general. Your average, like you hear Roy Spencer on our radio station talk all the time about all sump pumps fail, and he's absolutely right. On average, they last about 7 years. The switch is the problem with most pumps. That's what fails and causes damage. So if you have a sump pump, and right now before the rain comes, if you can go and take the lid off and unplug it and take a look to see if there's any debris, if you can take a small rake or a little garden shovel and get any kind of leaves that may be in there, that's going to just help the flow a little bit better, so you don't have any issues with it, so you're ready to go. And if you're unsure of the age of your sump pump, like, I don't know, it's been there since I bought the house 10 years ago, you may want to think about replacing it, whether you do it yourself or you hire someone to do it.
Yeah, and the best time to replace it is before the basement floods.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks.
One other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday is Misericordia Family Fest.
Oh, good, good, good.
From 11 to 6 out at 6300 North Ridge Avenue, Ridge and Devon Avenue.
Justin, opening that too?
Fun family events you can do, and it'll be a beautiful day. There's all kinds of entertainment and just raffles and prizes and just fun and merriment. So come on out with your family.
I didn't know there was going to be merriment.
There's merriment.
And information on everything with those folks, just go to
Misericordia.com.
All right, thanks, bud.
Love you.
Love you back. That's Lou. Hey, let's do this. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. It's 6:49 on the download with Justin Kaufman. He tried. I mean, he tried his best. He still tries to teach you about business. And we got a guest in studio to talk a little business. Yeah. Cool story here in just a second. Who is it?
It is Drew Saxena. He is the CEO of ShipBob. This is a segment we did, the Download in Chicago Business, which is sponsored by Signature Bank, where we interviewed local CEOs to get their stories to better understand ours. ShipBob is a local company that now is nationwide, that the first ever Download in Chicago Business. We talked to them when they raised $17 million to expand. Well, since that time in 2017, ShipBob, as it was announced yesterday in Cranes, has raised $40 million to continue that.
What are you smiling about? I guess you can't say you raised $40 million without bringing a smile to your face.
I know, yeah. I think the entire team put a lot of hard work into it, so I'm glad some fruits of those hard work coming out.
Drew Saxena, CEO, was the goal here to raise this kind of money? I mean, when we talked last time about raising money, it was about expansion. Yeah. The word expansion is put in again when you're talking about $40 million, but what is the what are you going to use that money to do?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think the market opportunity for us is so huge that we want to make sure we have the resources to go after it.
Get right into that microphone for us, will you? Lean right up to it if you don't mind. There you go. Perfect.
So what ShipBob does is it helps small to mid-sized e-commerce businesses get access to best-in-class logistics, right? And so a large number of brick-and-mortar stores are now going online for the very first time. And that has allowed a market opportunity for a company like ShipBob to exist, where any e-commerce store today can offer their customers same-day, next-day shipping.
Well, this is the issue, because at the expectation of the customer, Steve, you know this, that now because of giants like Amazon or
Walmart,
They want it now. They can get it within days, within hours.
I want it before I order it.
I ran into this problem holidays, Drew. I thought about your company because my wife had ordered something that was, you know, a Christmas present of some sort. And it took much longer than expected. So it looked like 5 weeks or something like that to get the present. But it was this expectation of the customer that we expect everything now because of these giants. So that's where ShipBob comes in for small businesses to be able to give them the ability to ship at a fast rate.
That's right. And how we do it is the expansion piece of it, which is we have warehouses across the entire country, and we take our customers' inventory and we distribute it across the entire country. So when you place an order from Chicago, it gets shipped out from a Chicago fulfillment center, not from a New York fulfillment center. And so your packages are not traveling crisscrossing throughout the entire country. They're traveling shorter distances, and so they can get delivered to the customer faster.
Is that like that tiny company Amazon? Do they do it that way as well? That little startup Amazon?
Yeah, the startup Amazon started doing this a few years ago, and that's changed the game for everyone else. And so the bar has been raised by Amazon, and it's now for the rest of the e-commerce world to match that bar. Otherwise, customers will never go and buy something from the local online store.
We got to come back and find out why Bob is involved in this. Who is Bob? Was he your roommate? Who is Bob? Ship Bob. You want to throw out your website?
Yeah, it's www.shipbob.com.
There you go. I'll ask you that again because it's one of the three questions. Stand by for more on what do you call this segment?
Well, it's called it was called a download on Chicago Business, and we'll continue to call that.
Sure, that's fine.
My signature.
Yeah. Coming up, stories that matter with Steve Krasanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. The boss at Ship Bob is here. Drew Saxena started the company right after Purdue, and now he had VC firms fighting over him. And is that the way the work? Does this part of this works? Venture capital firms hear about you, and they compete to get your partnership, or do you pitch the VC firms?
It's a combination of both. So usually the VC firms hear about a startup, and then they ask you to come in, and then you pitch to their entire partnership. And then if the partnership likes what they're hearing, then they go ahead and they do some diligence, and then they make an investment.
Is the goal for you to get ShipBob to go public? What is when you're getting a $40 million investment from a VC firm, what is the goal? What are you doing with that money?
So I think we care a lot about the mission. And so the mission that we are on is to help, you know, e-commerce businesses get access to best-in-class logistics. So for us to help us get to that mission, I think we are raising this capital to help us expand. And I think so we think about how can we get to that mission faster. And if in helping us achieve that mission, if going public is one route to be there, that's how we would proceed.
So yesterday, Cranes puts out the big story that you guys got this $40 million investment. Obviously, more and more people are paying attention to ShipBob. It's been a year or so since we've talked. Is there more pressure when there's more money? I mean, when you get to the point where you're in the trades and $40 million are on the hook, I mean, what are some of the challenges and the pressures that go along with good news?
Don't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it done, right?
Get it done. No, I think that's just the mantra for any startup is like there's always pressure because you have to grow quickly and you have to demonstrate that why your company is better than everyone else and you have to innovate faster than the competition's ability to innovate. I think so there's pressure, of course, but that just comes with the territory. So the challenges for us to grow faster are we hiring the smartest people that we can find to help us do the sales, marketing, engineering, whatever the job function might be? And are we able to innovate fast enough?
Well, the hiring part is big because you have, five, six, seven times the amount of employees you had before?
Yeah. So
what are you, 60 to 400?
60 to 400.
Nice job.
Thank you. Well, because we've opened up fulfillment centers across the country, so we have to hire a lot of fulfillment center employees across the country.
Have you had, what is it like when you go into these smaller businesses and say, hey, we want to help you with your shipping and we can make this better, but you've got to give us some of your inventory to put in these different warehouses? Is that confuse these people?
Actually, they're glad that somebody is actually helping them out because if ShipBob is not doing it, then they have to, you know, do it themselves. And that means that they're spending 5 to 6 hours going to the post office or hiring two or three folks who they can't keep fully employed. So they'd rather have somebody do it and we can do it cheaper and faster than they can do it themselves.
Drew, if you're a young guy, you're a CEO of this company, a company that, as Steve just mentioned, went from 60 employees to 400. Now, of course, with $40 million on the hook.
Yeah.
As a CEO, how do you manage the fact that your company is having growth that is almost unforeseen?
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but not just mine. I think the best thing that anyone can do is hire a team around them who've seen such growth and can coach you and mentor you through all the ups and downs. So I think that's the secret to it.
Do you have to change your leadership style when the employees get to 400? I mean, when it's just a startup after Purdue, is it a different way to be a CEO?
Oh, absolutely. Like when you're starting off, you can get everyone in the same room and communicate exactly how you want to do it. And so as you grow across to 400 people, now you don't have a one-on-one connection with every single employee. So you have to build a communication structure, and you have to gather a team around you who can then communicate your message both up and also help communicate the message from the bottom up all the way, or bottom down all the way up.
We're quickly running out of time here. Why Shipba? The name?
Well, so Bob is bending over backwards.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Thank you.
You start this on your own? Do you have partners?
No, my co-founder, Divai, who I've known for like 25, 30 years. We grew up in New Delhi, India, so we came here to the U.S. Together, and then we started Shipbub after we graduated.
You still friends? I mean, it's a great way to ruin a friendship.
No, he's my co-founder. He's the COO.
So you don't have to see each other that often. You can still be pals.
Yeah. No, we're friends.
Do you ever talk about anything other than business? How could you?
No, we don't. For us, this is our life's work.
Yeah, it's your passion.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited for you.
Shipbob.com. Dhruv Saxena is the CEO of Shipbob, which was just announced in Cranes yesterday that they got a $40 million investment to expand. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And we hope to check in again to see how the expansion's going.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for getting them coming over. Brought to you by
Signature Bank.
It's all over here at Ross Age Stadium. And for the first time in 2018, the Wildcats win.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
7-Eleven, so last weekend, I'm listening to the great Dave Bennett. And I turn the game on at halftime. And Northwestern is blowing out Purdue. I'm thinking, wow, this is great. And the second half starts to get a little closer, and I get a little more tense. But your voice never got tense, Dave. No matter what you were feeling inside, you were steady, Dave.
I was never worried.
Steady, Dave, never concerned.
Just focused on the job at hand.
Now, I wonder how Coach felt. First off, though, let's go to Coach Fitz and congratulate him on a great opener. Congrats, Coach.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're good. We're good. We're looking forward to tomorrow when the smart kids from Northwestern play the smart kids from Duke.
And Coach Fitz is sponsored by Fields Mini of Chicago.
All right, so, Coach, the thing you love best about the opener and the thing that bothered you?
We won, and all the work we had to put in this week. You know, we obviously learn a lot about your team in your first game, and, you know, there were some really good things that we were able to get accomplished. I think our start, the way we came out of the gates, was terrific. I didn't think we tackled very well in the first half, but we adjusted that, and then didn't really like the way we finished the second half as an offense. We had plenty of opportunities to, you know, put away a Big Ten opponent on the road, and we didn't make plays that we needed to make, especially there in the third quarter. But the guys were resilient, and, you know, we found a way to win a Big Ten game on the road. So it was a great team win.
Hey, you know, the cliche is adjustments at halftime. Adjustments at halftime. How smart are you coaches where you can make adjustments at halftime and really change the course of the game? Or is it a team that's leading in a big way, gets a little tight?
No, it was a little bit more, you know, defensively, we weren't as aggressive as we needed to be going to tackle in the first half. So that was the only adjustment. And offensively, you know, the adjustments that we expected them to make, they made. We just, we got to put our guys in maybe some a little bit better positions to make some plays, I guess. You know, we had ample opportunities to put together and sustain some drives, and if we do that, it probably ends up being a different outcome. But I'm not going to nitpick a win. You know, you look at the things that you can fix, and we got to work on that this week. And, you know, hopefully we'll play instead of, you know, maybe 40 minutes of really good football, we'll put together 60 minutes. We're going to need it against Duke.
You've won 9 consecutive games going back to last year. Last time Northwestern won 9 in a row, you were part of that too as a player. What happens to a team when you go on a run like that?
Well,
Well, this is a different team this year, obviously, Dave, you know, and there are a lot of guys back, but we have some new faces and some new guys in different roles from last year. I think what it does give you is some positive momentum. You know, it definitely gives the guys, I think, a boost of confidence that when we play the way we're capable of, we put ourselves in position to win, and we've won a lot of close games. So, you know, I think that's probably the most important thing is that we're not going to be, I think, you know, overly panicking when we get into a close game opportunity. We won a bunch and just trust in what we do and how we do it.
How important, Coach, is it to play a road game, a Big Ten road game, before your home opener? The idea of having a strong start where you're playing something with much more intensity than, say, you know, a non-conference game that's sort of dipping your toe, sure, in the water before you play an ACC team like Duke.
Yeah, you know, I would tell you before the game last Thursday, I would say it's not very cool. And I would say it's great now that we won. It's you know, Dave will tell you it was a great environment down there in West Lafayette. We knew it was going to be. And the way our guys handled it, you know, I think was a great team lesson, you know, to learn, because we're going to be in those environments moving forward. So I think the guys handled it really well. I definitely think we're battle tested, and you know, it's only good when you win. So, you know, if you talk to some other teams that played some big games, you know, here in the opener, and they end up maybe losing by a touchdown or whatnot, and then here come the Brewbirds, and here come the media and the fans on the internet saying you're terrible, and you know, it's just one game. So you learn a lot. You put a course of action together to improve the squad, and then hopefully you make those improvements in week two.
Well, you had a rough game against Duke a year ago. That's been well documented. I know you haven't spent a lot of time looking back at that game, but Duke's a team that people in this part of the country don't see an awful lot. They don't know a lot about Duke, but you know this program. You've been playing them on a regular basis, and they're a really good team. What concerns you most about Duke tomorrow?
Well, we can't have a repeat performance that we had a year ago. I thought they played extremely well, but you know, we had ample opportunities, Dave, as you know, to put that game, you know, get a couple score lead. We miss a throw. We get a really tough targeting call that would have, I think, changed momentum on our side. And then we couldn't get off the field on third down. We gave up too many scramble yards. Jones is a really athletic quarterback. He's an outstanding player. And, you know, offensively, we weren't where we are today as an offensive line. And when you pop the tape on to study it to get ready for the game, you know, that group takes a big chunk of the blame. But more importantly, it was on us as coaches. We hadn't solidified our starting five yet up there, and it definitely showed. So, you know, we put a lot of work in the things that we know we're going to get from them. We're trying to anticipate the things that will be new wrinkles. We didn't get a great snapshot of what they're going to do and how they're going to do things against us when they played Army a week ago and played very well. So going to be a great challenge. You know, we'll be 2 weeks in here at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and I think we'll know a lot about our team and where we're at.
Coach, I know a lot about the prep for a season has to do with routine. And have you adapted to using the new facilities, figured out the new way to do things with all the extra amenities?
Yeah, you know, the efficiency has been amazing. You know, as I've looked at it from when we had our first summer workout and got done in the weight room 22 minutes early to yesterday when, you know, we had the offense stay outside and practice in the rain. We haven't had a whole lot of inclement weather during camp, so they needed that work. And they have the defense going to Ryan Fieldhouse, and they were pretty happy to be dry. So, yeah, life was pretty good for those guys. But it's been amazing. We're very fortunate and very grateful.
Time's to start tomorrow, Dave.
11 o'clock tomorrow's kickoff.
Coach, is that good for you, 11 o'clock? We need to adjust that.
I'm pretty fired up about waking up and going and playing football. Sitting around in the hotel all day kind of stinks.
Yeah, no kidding. And pregame with you, Dave?
That'll be at 10:30, but John Williams will be out there beforehand, broadcasting live from, I think, from Wildcat Alley, just north of Ryan Field, starting a little bit earlier than that.
Coach, you didn't ask, but I like 31. 31's a good number. 31-24 Northwestern tomorrow. Oh, it's going to be fun.
Well, I appreciate the confidence. Thanks, man. Yeah. You just got me really fired up. Appreciate it.
You don't sound it, but I trust that you are.
It didn't sound.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Have a great day.
There you go.
And Coach Fitz, sponsored by Five Fields Mini of Chicago. He really didn't sound very fired up by your prediction.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Steve. You got me really fired up. Yeah. You mind if I do this without
you? You don't want to give up 24 points. Are you kidding?
Duke's tough,
that's going to be high scoring, though, isn't it?
I don't know if it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be a tough game.
But they're,
I
mean, Duke they're a bowl team. They're playing the ACC, which has turned into like a juggernaut conference.
They were a bowl. Last year, they played Northern Illinois in their bowl game, and they beat them pretty handily.
Didn't Clay Thorson get sacked a bunch last time?
Yeah, it was.
And he got hurt. I don't know if you know this. He got injured. So we need to protect him. I say bubble wrap him. Bubble wrap him just before the game.
It's hard to move around with bubble wrap.
Yeah, you don't know how talented this kid is. You cut a couple of sleeve holes. I mean, you're good to go.
Technology has changed with bubble wrap.
Yeah, it really has. Now it's all on an app. It's 7:20. We come back with the most valuable person on the planet. And you got to hear what the president said last night. Where was he? Montana? I think he was in Montana.
Yeah.
Tough for the property values on my ranch.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Most valuable person on the planet for Friday, September 7th, is St. Sabina pastor, senior pastor, Father Flager, joins us on the phone about something that's coming up tomorrow, which is an annual event, which is a great thing for all of us, whether you're there or not. I'm sorry, it's next week. It's the Peace League tournament.
Yes.
And Father Flager, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. Listen, this was an idea, if I remember correctly. Wasn't it Isaiah Thomas originally?
Right. This happened about 7 years ago. We were having one of our Friday night walks, which we do every Friday night during the summer, and Isaiah Thomas was with us. And we were on a porch talking to a group of guys from one of the different segments, organizations out here in the community, and said, what if we bring everybody together from the different organizations and played ball together and got to know each other on the court in the gym rather than on the street? And everybody said, no, it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't work, somebody would get shot. And Isaiah said, I'm in, let's do it. And we spent the rest of that summer getting all the other groups to get on board, and it happened. And now this is our seventh one. We have seven different organizations that are involved in this. We've never had a single problem. Joakim Noah has been with us almost every year, and D. Rose. This year we're having a special thing with Jabari Parker.
Great.
He's coming back to Chicago, of course, so we're having our theme this year is Welcome Home, Jabari. He and, of course, his dad, Sonny, will be with us, and Mark Aguirre, Antoine Walker, Bobby Simmons.
Wow.
And Joakim is going to be back with us, and everybody in the walking in is going to get a free Bulls T-shirt. We have other giveaways.
By the way, free admission too, I think, right?
It's free admission. Yeah, it's free to everybody in the community. The NBA refs, of course, will be with us. James Capers, Mark Davis, Danny Crawford's going to come on back and join us. They ref the game. The NBA players coach it, and brothers from the community play the game. And this year, another added thing is we have two teams from the west side and two teams from the south side. And the team that wins in the south and in the west side will then have the championship game as the third game on Saturday, September 15th.
Yep, at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You know, the naysayers and the skeptics go, well, look, the numbers are the same. It's been 7 years, the numbers are the same. Nobody's pretending this is a cure-all, but I'm curious because you are in the middle of this every single day. Have you seen a lessening of tensions? Because common sense says you put people from rival gangs together and they find out they're not a lot more different than they thought they were, and they could actually be friends or at least understand each other better, and they're going to stop shooting at each other. You must have seen some of that.
No, exactly, sir. And this particular beat over here, which used to be one of the beat 612, used to be one of the most deadliest in the city, we're down about 85% of violence in this area right
there
here.
You go.
And it is. What it makes a difference is you run into each other, even and they say the different territories and streets, hey, wait a minute, give him a pass. I play ball with him at St. Sabine on Monday nights. And it does. It makes brothers understand that, you know, we're all in this together. We're all struggling to get the same thing. Let's, you know, you and I are so similar and have so much alike, and we're all trying to get the same thing. And what we also do with this, Steve, is then we work with all of them. We try to get them in an employment program, a mentoring program. We offer two GED classes here if they've not finished their high school education, as well as we try to stabilize their living conditions. So we've had some great success. We've had about 350 people go through the program. In the last 2 years, we had this program, Strong Future. We took 100 brothers with records. As of today, 69 of them are now in full-time jobs.
Father Flager, Justin Kaufman here.
Yes,
wonder,
sir.
Hey, I'm concerned. I wonder how you have to resist the urge to lecture. In a sense, that you bring all these people together and it's a great moment and they're going to play basketball, but do you have to resist the urge of pulling some of the sides saying, hey, knock off this, what you're doing? Or how do you approach this event?
You know what we've done is we pull them together before the game starts. And actually, I heard you say 9, but actually everything begins at noon. And we open up the gym building at noon to the public. But from noon to 1, we take all the guys together down in our hall over here ahead of time. And Jabari and Joakim, Arnie Duncan's always there, John Rogers is always there, and they talk to them about, hey, how can we help? Talk to them about, hey, I grew up thinking and doing the same things you did, for being challenged by this in the street. So we let the conversation go with them and their heroes. And we try to, what I try to do with them at here is say, hey, listen, you are our talent, you are our potential in this city. We need you. We need the gifts you have to bring. We watched one of our guys, he was a shooter out on the street. They got him, we got him an internship job. He got in there. He was working there about 3 months, and they said, this guy's a genius in math. He's now working in the finance office of one of Chicago's companies because they said he has a natural gift.
But Father, isn't that what it's about? I mean, you got to show a kid that there's another way and that their life matters, and they're going to live past 25, and they're going to have a family, and they're going to contribute.
And that's but we also got to give them options, you know.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, if you look at all in the last thing, you know, I've said this at different hearings and conferences over in the city, you've never heard somebody in the last 3-4 years that I know of who has been involved in a crime who has a job.
Right, exactly.
They just don't have to. Give them options, give them opportunities, and support them, help put that safety net back around them to get them back on their feet and get them stabilized. You'll see lives turned around, and you'll see that they most of these guys on the street want a future. They just don't think there's any opportunity for it. We got to help them know they do have a future. They do have something ahead of them. Let's go do it. Let's fulfill your dreams, and then we'll watch the violence come down.
Starts at noon. Next Saturday, right?
Noon on next Saturday at 78th and Racine.
Everybody's welcome,
Daniel.
Right? Everybody's welcome.
Everybody across the city. Everybody's welcome to come and join us. And let's give a real, you know, yell out and shout to Jabari Park and welcome him home to Chicago.
Good for him. Good for all those guys for stepping up, and obviously for everybody that works with you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Father Flager from Saint Sabina.
Jabari Park.
That's great. That's great.
Do you know he's only 23 years old?
His knees
are might
a little
be 40,
older.
But
hey, my knees are 74.
I know that. I wasn't going to bring that.
He's 23 years old, and his name has been in our mouths for.
Seems like
decade
forever.
Because he was such a young kid, you know, playing high school ball here in Chicago. It's amazing.
I think it's a good acquisition, too.
23.
And obviously, he's committed to the city.
Well, the thing is, when you take rival gangs and you put them on a basketball court together, you can imagine how tense that first year was in that second year. And now they know it's going to be a great event. And as he said, there haven't been any incidents. This is not dissimilar to what happens in the Middle East. There's a tremendous amount of organizations that try to put Palestinian and Jewish kids together to show them they're no different than each other.
Yeah. It's also really great. I love the image of being in the hallway before the game and Jabari Parker and Joakim Noah talking to these kids.
There's another way.
There is another way. That's great.
The ArcOfSaintSabina.org is a website. ArcOfSaintSabina.org. The ArcOfSaintSabina.org. All right, 7:33. I got to play this for you. This is last night in Montana. President Donald Trump, last night in Montana, clearing things up for all of us.
If the opposite party becomes president, every time before it even starts, before you've even found out whether or not he or she is going to do a great job, they'll say, we want to impeach him, and you'll impeach him. It's so ridiculous. But don't worry about that if it ever happens. But if it does happen, it's your fault because you didn't go out to vote. You didn't go out to vote.
I love it. When's he coming to Zanies? Is that next? Is that in 2 weeks?
A couple of things need to be cleared up there, not the least of which is someone needs to tell the president, you don't vote for president this time. This election is actually not for president. Yeah.
I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but he...
It's interesting, because I don't agree with any of it.
But he gets into the rally. When he gets in the rally in front of his crew, he's funny. He's a he gets them laughing. He knows how to do it.
Oh, he's saying, hilarious.
There's a lot that is important and
I like crucial. When he gets out this sledgehammer and hits watermelons. That's some of my favorites.
He had a little trouble saying some words last night. There was some moments where he was slurring his words and couldn't say the word anonymous for some reason.
Yeah, that's a tough word. There's a lot of...
It was pretty bad.
Headlines in a second. Dan Hampton coming up on York. Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers. It's Packers Bears week. Oh, boy.
Just based on how hard I work and how hard I play, I want to be able to go out and show why. And that's just me. I've always thought of myself as the best defensive player in the league.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
Animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's Bears Packers week. It's special. And I tell you what, Hampy comes in. You know, sometimes he'll have a flashback. He'll break up some furniture at the house. He gets all fired up. Run through a wall. That's why we love him. Hamp, it's Bears Packers week, buddy.
No, I can't get better than this. And yeah, I mean, just like everyone else, I'm sitting here on go waiting for Sunday night. You know, think about it. After 20 years of the Bears' vituperation, we now have a master plan in place where it looks like we may be able to go up there and get after Green Bay.
You know, I haven't asked you this since we've kind of gotten back in the groove here. What do you know of Matt Nagy and what are you hearing and what's the vibe and do you feel good about him?
Okay, and it's a real interesting way to start this off because, you know, this game, and with the addition of Khalil Mack, we just heard the bump in, and I got to tell you, I made little Dan listen to his press conference.
Right.
This guy, I'm just telling you, there's no duplicity, there's no BS. It is, I'm a badass, and I can play, I'm not going to put up with anybody that doesn't want to play. And so these are the things that Ryan Pace is trying to instigate. And, okay, think about last year, okay? He moved up to get the quarterback he wanted. Then he fired Fox, and he hired a new coaching staff, kept the old defensive coordinator, paid him money, brought in a couple of new receivers, got Trey Burke, paid the corners a ransom, and now with the addition of Khalil Mack, these are all hugely, you know, positive moves. And you think about a team, 11 on each side, 22. Well, there's 5, 6, 7 different positions or spots on this team that we have had huge upgrades. It should matter, and it should take effect. And all I'm saying is, you know, he's probably thinking, Matt Nagy's thinking, I wish I would have played his starters more in the preseason because I don't think he knows what he's going to have Sunday night. You know, the offense is basically, obviously, you know where the ball's going, you know where the snap count is, but you have to make so many adjustments. And if you watched the game last night, Atlanta, with a Pro Bowl quarterback, Matt Ryan, who I'm not a big fan of, and Julio, I think the best receiver in football, they weren't on the same page. There was an interception, a couple of other blown. These are things that the great combinations like Tom Brady and Gronkowski, they work on. Now, most of that work needs to come in a game situation. We haven't seen it. Let's hope that they know what they're going to do come Sunday.
You know, Hamp, the Bears-Packers rivalry, and you guys, when you played, you did such a great job of selling it the week of, leading into it. And we've seen coaches get up in front of us in press conferences saying beat the Packers. But we've also seen a sentiment that says it's just another game. What should we believe as fans, especially for the 2018 Bears? Do they care about playing the Green Bay Packers?
Absolutely. And this is what everybody needs to understand. You know, you've got a lot of teams that you know that you have to compete with and you have to play. But the Packers and the Bears, it's been 99 years of head-to-head warfare, and it means something. And especially when you don't win a game in the division, to beat the Packers changes everything. And over the last 20 years, it's been pretty one-sided, lopsided, because of their quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, two Hall of Famers. We, you know, we went through 500, you know, suspects, and we hopefully now have a quarterback, but they have had the upper hand, and so they are the proverbial, you know, the bully on the block that you've got to deal with twice a year. Now, going up to Green Bay on a Sunday night to start the season, it's obviously, you know, a very tough position to be in, but I think Matt Nagy, and to kind of go back to your question a second ago, he didn't do himself no favors by not playing his offense and especially his quarterback in the preseason. You know, so much of what you do in football is about confidence and knowing, hey, we can run the ball, we can do this, we can run the combination blocks, we can do this, we can. So either in Ed Obradovich, and again, we're going to be on the pregame from 5 o'clock to 7, and then after the game, the great OB and I have been talking, and OB's and I are very akin in our thoughts, which is, either Matt Nagy knows something that nobody else on the planet Earth knows, or, you know, we're going to be in for a shock. And I'm hoping it's a good thing, but, you know, this is uncharted water. I thought for sure that we would be a little more prepared as far as what we did in the preseason. But, hey, this is the way they're going to roll. If it works, he's going to look like a genius.
And the way the NFL works, Hamp, is when a team hits on something that is successful, then everybody copies that. So let's say that this turns out to have been a good move by Nagy and the Bears win. Then we see other teams next year keeping their regulars out of preseason games.
Well, that's what the Rams did this year. I don't think they played the starters much at all, if any. And the Rams are my pick to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. They're really going to be a good team this year. So, hey, you never know. You know, it's a box of chocolates. Life is what it is. We just got to go up there, suit up, and play. But I'll tell you this. The addition of Khalil Mack changes everything. And I was telling a guy last night, he goes, what do you think they're going to do? I said, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, hey, we're going to struggle, and maybe we'll win 5, 6, 7. Now, if they win, if they beat Green Bay on opening night, they can beat anybody. It's just a remarkable leap of confidence that you are now a team that has to be reckoned with. So, you know, like I said, Ryan Pace has kind of redone his master plan the last year and a half with the addition of this new coaching staff, the quarterback, now Khalil Mack, the signing of the corners. A lot of these things that he's done, you know, he's expecting success. I hope we all get to see it on Sunday night.
Yeah, you know, Dave, when Ryan Pace in the first couple of years was supposedly a budding genius, we were all questioning the testing method. And now these moves appear to be pretty ingenious, with the potential of maybe adding an evil laugh, because that's how good this looks. Well, Sunday is such a must-win. I agree with Hamp 1,000%. They win Sunday night, they could be a 10-win team.
But it changes the whole landscape.
That's
if
exactly
they win
right
on Sunday night. Now, it's still that. It's easy to say. It's still going in there and winning in that environment is a whole different thing. And Hamp, obviously, Mac, that's huge, and it's, he's going to change the defense. He's going to change really what this team is all about. But let's look at the offense for a moment. Kevin White, a lot of people have kind of written him off after the last couple of years. Won a job on this team. Has he shown you enough during his time playing in the preseason that you think this guy does have a chance?
Yeah, he has a chance to not only kind of bud and prosper this year, but I think it's inherent upon him to not, you know, staying healthy has been the big thing with the leg injuries, the broken bones in the lower portions of his leg. But if all that is straightened out, he's shown a couple of flashes, scored a touchdown in the preseason. Whoopee, big deal. All I know is, but he has to understand, he went from being the expected number one receiver to now someone that's going to be fighting to get on the field because of the additions of Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, the second-round pick, who looks very good. Javon Wims is another kid that I think will get an awful lot of exposure early in the season. So Kevin White's going to have to fight it out and get back up. But see, that's good. Competition should bring out the best in everyone. And just like, you know, Khalil Mack, everybody on that defense just got kind of a wake-up call. Danny Trevathan, he just got 3 years younger because, hey, guess what? This guy's making all this dough. He's got all the headlines. Everybody's going to be watching. I need to show up. Rokon Smith, he's going to say, hey, I've got some great players around me. I don't have to make every play. I just got to make the ones I'm supposed to.
There's actually, this is the first time in years where there's been too many talented guys to talk about in this segment. Normally we go two guys and crickets. I mean,
you're exactly right. And we haven't even got over to the offensive side. Well, and you asked me about Nagy. The inside people I've talked to, Matt Nagy is very, very confident. And again, that's why we didn't see it the pre. He's very confident in the combination of Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard being very explosive in a running game. And that is the, before we leave, this is where, you know, we're going to talk about the defense and we're going to talk about the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to be Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen making conversions on third down, keeping drives alive, keeping the sticks moving, and pounding away at the Green Bay Packer defense. They were soft last year. They were 26th in the league. They got a new defensive coordinator, a guy named Mike Pettine, who's got a corny slogan for his defense, KILL, K-I-L-L, keep it likable and learnable, which is pretty lame.
Yeah.
All I know is, if you got to come up with phony little cliches, you don't really have that good a scheme. So look for the Bears to pound away with the running game. And then play action is what Trubisky has always done best. So this could work out well, and the byproduct, you keep Mr. Rogers on the sidelines. He won't be able to touch
keep
the ball.
Keep it likable and learnable. That's not exactly Buddy Ryan stuff, man.
Buddy Ryan would have laughed him out of the building.
Yeah, that's not exactly it. All right, before we get to predictions, pregame is when?
We start 5 o'clock Sunday night. We go to 7. And then immediately following the game, we take it to midnight with all the analysis.
And Ed Obradovich will be hooked up with a blood pressure monitor. There'll be a nurse standing by. Everything's going to be fine.
Always.
Yeah, Kaz and I will be keeping track of his temperature and body vitals.
Yeah, yeah. Justin, score.
I say Bears 27, Packers 17.
Dave.
I say Packers eke one out 21-20 over the Bears.
I'm going 24-23 with Khalil Mack making a game-saving sack to end it.
Hey, the Bears like by one?
I like that.
Yeah. All right, Amp,
I'm keeping. I'm at 17-14 Bears win. And, again, this is going to be a game that will set the tone. It's going to be must-see TV. And, boy, we can't wait. Like I said, we're probably going to be showing up tomorrow night, 24 hours early at the conference room.
No doubt about it. All right, buddy. Thank you. We'll find some food for you. November 27th, 1921, Steve Grzanich. Bears 20, Packers nothing. 99 years later, they're still at it. How about that? Dave, you covered that first game.
I also covered the game at Soldier Field when the Bears won 61-7 over the Packers.
Good times. I should take this. It's the president. We didn't know the president was going to call. I wonder if maybe I just pretend I'm not home. All right. All right. Hello. Good morning, Mr. President. Mr. President, are you there?
Yes. Speaking.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, I'd be a lot better if we get past the pumpkin spice phase of the year, believe me.
Yeah, sure.
And before we start, I'd like to express my deepest condolences to the family of Burt Reynolds. Not only was he a pioneer of natural-looking hair systems, he was a gifted actor. I mean, wow. 8 seasons on Magnum P.I. Completely carried the show. Really did.
Actually Tom Selleck, sir, but yeah.
Well, either way, it looks like I might finally get invited to a funeral.
I don't like your chances. Let me start with this. The senior White House official who writes this anonymous op-ed in the New York Times says, "I'm part of the resistance inside the Trump administration." What do you got on this?
Big deal. The failing New York Times published another negative hit piece on me. I swear, if they didn't report on me, that newspaper would be nothing but mattress sale ads and low-end massage parlors in the classifieds, believe me. Oh, speaking of which, 10% off my next massage. Oh, nice.
Congratulations,
nice.
Yeah. Mr. President, the op-ed said there were, quote, early whispers within the cabinet of invoking the 25th Amendment to remove you. And now the New York Times says the White House has it narrowed down to 12 suspects who could have written the op-ed. Are you in on this?
Well, I will tell you, if this was an inside the White House job, then my money is on Glenn in accounting. Something very sneaky about that guy. That, and he spells his name with two N's. I don't trust him. I mean, who does that, right, Mike?
Nobody likes him, sir.
See? Mike Pence doesn't like him. He likes everybody.
He's always stealing pens out of the supply closet, sir. He's a bad apple.
Well, it's definitely not you, Mike, right?
Oh, heavens no, sir. I would never dream of writing something like that. I can't even say Lodestar without Mother in the room. Oh, I just did it. Forgive me, sir.
Mike, relax. Go get me a Diet Coke.
Let me switch gears. Let me talk Supreme Court with you. Brett Kavanaugh. His Senate hearing got off to a rocky start. Senate Democrats, numerous protesters all up in arms. What do you think of that?
I think Kavanaugh's doing a tremendous job, despite all the whining from the Democrats.
Oh, the Democrats. Yeah.
Frankly, there's so much crying, and the TV coverage has lasted so long, I thought I was watching Aretha Franklin's homegoing service all over again.
Yeah.
I really did.
The music wasn't as good. The other things you probably didn't want to talk about was Bob Woodward's book coming out. He said that he recorded hundreds of hours of interviews for the book.
I swear, that guy taped so many people. My new nickname for Bob is Omarosa Number Two.
Mm.
Look, all this attention over the book of fiction, it's fiction, is frankly a real shame and a disgrace, because all it does is take the attention away from Sean Spicer's book in the bargain bin pile. Very lonely book, Cochran, believe me.
And the Woodward book, your chief of staff, John Kelly, allegedly called you names and described the White House as crazy town. And then he denied it. Is he telling the truth? What do you say?
Look, Boob Woodward is totally taking this out of context. Kelly was describing the White House Taco Tuesday staff dinner.
Oh, was he?
Things can, they get a lot out of hand there, you know, in all fairness, lots of infighting, because everybody wants the carne asada, but nobody wants the chipotle shredded chicken. Nobody wants it.
Got to talk to the cook. The book also says you called Attorney General Jeff Sessions a dumb Southerner.
Now, that's totally offensive and wrong. I never called Jeff Sessions a dumb Southerner. I called him a stupid elf. Huge difference, believe me.
Yeah, you could be right there. Let's move on. I want to get your take on the decision on Nike to make Colin Kaepernick the face of the new Just Do It commercial that aired last night. I don't know if you saw it, but what do you say about it?
What a disgrace. You know, once he got the endorsement deal, Kaepernick finally stood for something. How convenient. Frankly, this is the most embarrassing thing Nike has ever done, if you don't count having all their sneakers made by eight-year-olds in an abandoned airplane hangar in Somalia. You know, my son Eric burned his Nike shoes in protest. The only problem was he forgot to take them off first.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Live and learn.
All right, we're out of time, I guess, but listen, I appreciate you calling.
Oh, it's perfect timing, Cochran. I have to go anyway. I got to rehearse walking off Air Force One with Melania's body double. Later, loser.
That's the only reason she ever appears in camera with him. It's not her. Now I'm doing it. I say something, and then I yell, and then I repeat it. It's catching. By the way, Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And coming up now, the stories that matter most with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
On a great morning in Chicago. A little drizzle, a little rain here and there. We need a little sunshine in our lives. And it comes in the form of our friend from Entertainment Tonight, Chicago's own Lauren Zima. Good morning to you.
You guys, what an introduction.
Huh?
I compared me to sunshine. I will take that all day, every day. Thank you.
You know, it's one of those days, Lauren. You know, this is your town. September in Chicago, you always get a message. Mother Nature sends you a message. Goes, I'm coming. Another winter down the road. This is that day. Today is that day.
She says, don't get comfortable. Don't think it's easy. Okay.
I want to play a clip. This is Smokey and the Bandit stuff. Let's go back to Smokey and the Bandit time. I was just a boy, and Burt Reynolds was the coolest guy on the planet. And CB radios weren't stupid yet. Here's Smokey and the Bandit. Listen.
A big chance to make a run for some big bucks. 80,000 of them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do, kidnap the Pope or something?
How'd you guess? No, we're just going to run over to Texarkana and pick up 400 cases of Coors.
And bring it back in 28 hours. Whoa, I got plans for you.
That's called bootlegging, and that's against the law.
Well, who gives a turkey when the snowman and the bandit are running the booze? No one can stop it.
Hold it right there. There ain't gonna be no more snowman and bandit. You understand me?
Why?
Well, because I've got to go in the morning to Kanye's and pick up a load of manure. Shut up.
See, that's all you need. You get Burt Reynolds and Jerry Reed and who gives a turkey? You know, I can't believe how hip that was back then, Lauren. You know, you have no idea how big he was.
You know, it's been fun for me, I have to say, to kind of look up and look into a lot of this stuff over the past couple of days. And as sad as it is to lose a guy like Burt Reynolds, what it does is remind you of the career that he had, because I had no idea. I mean, from the late 70s to early 80s, he was literally the number one draw at the box office. I knew he was big. I did not know he was number one.
And you know, the other thing is, the movies he turned down, we were talking about this earlier, he turned down Die Hard, he turned down Terms of Endearment, he turned down Pretty Woman, and he would have turned down The Godfather if it hadn't gotten to the point where Marlon Brando said, you put him in the movie, I'm out.
So,
just amazing the stuff he turned down.
That is another thing I can't stop looking into. Han Solo, he turned
down.
That's
another one,
yeah. John McClane. Yeah. It's almost like Burt Reynolds had a career in movies he said no to.
He was on Larry King once, and I remember he said, look, there's no Oscar for stupid.
You know, we were talking about that because this guy's career with E.T. was kind of unbelievable, too. He was on our very first Entertainment Tonight broadcast.
Oh, is that right?
In 1981, yes. And so we've interviewed him a ton over the years. And I'm watching all these interviews, and I'm just so struck by how the guy owned it when he made a mistake, though. That's the thing. He was this big personality. And, I mean, Smokey and the Bandit, Boogie Nights, obviously his career and his iconic roles still span decades, which very few people can do in this industry. Fame is not easy to sustain. So he's this big personality, posing naked on a bearskin for Cosmo, but he also really owned up to when he made a mistake. I also loved how he did that in his love life. I mean, these past couple years, he's made all these headlines with coming out in interviews and with his memoir saying Sally Field was the one who got away.
Yeah, how about that?
The kind of painful things he owned up to about that, saying she was the love of my life. I was stupid. I let her get away. It's very romantic, and he was an icon in more ways than one. You know, he kind of was a bigger-than-life personality both on and off-screen. Because he didn't always make the smartest choices.
No, he did not. And one of the things that makes you a superstar beyond superstars is when SNL creates an iconic character based on you. Super Joe, give me cut number five here. Cut number five. Here you go, Norm. Give me a little Bert.
Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400.
There's nothing like Norm doing Burt Reynolds on Celebrity Jeopardy. Anyway, Burt Reynolds, obviously going to be best.
Absolutely.
What is this Gregory Owens, Tyler Perry story?
Crazy, right? I have loved how Hollywood has rallied around this guy. Of course, you guys remember Jeffrey Owens from The Cosby Show. He played one of the daughter's boyfriends and I think turned husband on The Cosby Show. I have to say, I kind of forgotten about the guy. I mean, I used to watch Cosby Show, and then when I saw his face, I'm like, oh, that guy, you know? So he goes viral because somebody takes a picture of him working at a Trader Joe's. He's 57 now, and it goes viral on Twitter, and some people are like, wow, really? And some people are like, how he's fallen, but a lot of actors really rally around this guy and say, hey, what actor doesn't have a second job, even if they're still working as an actor? It's not a steady gig. You don't make the money you think you make from, you know, being lead number six on a TV show. It's not as glamorous as it seems. So Hollywood's really rallied around him. So many actors came out on Twitter, and what they ended up doing, what went viral, was they started sharing stories of all the side hustles they've done. You know, oh, I worked as an assistant, I worked as a driver, etc. And then Tyler Perry comes out and tweets saying, hey, I'm about to start shooting, you know,
show number 72 that Tyler Perry's behind. I'm about to start shooting new shows for the Oprah Winfrey Network, a new drama, at the new drama, number one drama. I'm starting again up next week, I mean. And he says, come join us. I have so much respect for the side hustle. It's the measure of a true artist. So we talked to Jeffrey, asked him, yo, is that for real? And he said, look, that was super cool. I definitely didn't expect to get offered shows out of this. This is great. He goes, you know, I'm not even a TV watcher. I don't watch a ton of TV. But hey, if Tyler's for real offering, I will take the job. So we'll see if they really connect. It's a cool story of something turning very positive.
Hey, Lauren, I saw on your Instagram a picture of you and Eva Longoria, and I already liked her before, but I did not realize her new show, Grand Hotel, was she's making sure all the staff is half female.
I loved her saying that so much. So we were exclusively on set with her this week. And I couldn't believe what this woman was doing. Truly, I'm not joking. I say, we're waiting for her to do the interview. First of all, you know, we're always given a window. Hey, the set's crazy. You might get them at this time or this time. She came right at the start of that window. She was getting stuff done. The woman's directing and producing this show. So she told me she's the first one on the set, the last one to leave. But what she didn't expect was how crazy it would really be, because she has a newborn son. So she walks into the interview. She goes, I'm so sorry. I have breast milk on my shirt. And she's like wiping it off, literally doing her own makeup, walking into the interview, putting some lip gloss on. And then she stands there and tells me that through all this, she has also made sure that, yes, she's got female crew members, female directors of photography on set, because she wanted it to reflect the real world and good be half male and half female.
Yeah, good for her. All right, out of time, too soon as always, but the new Bachelor is who?
Steve. His name is Colton Underwood, you know, from no one to someone real quickly. Here's the thing, though, guys. First ever virgin bachelor, 26-year-old Colton, has never slept with anyone. So they always think of something new.
Well, listen, I respect his choice if it's true.
Now, Lauren, do you like him? Because there's a person on our show, Pete Zimmerman. He is not a fan of Colton. He's a big bachelor. A bachelor watcher, but he's not a fan of Colton's.
Do we know why
he doesn't like him?
I think he said he was lame, but
he's wishy-washy.
Wishy-washy, yeah. Not related to the virginity, just in general, the personality felt was a little lame.
How does Pete feel about his own virginity?
But I'm not sure that he wants me to talk about that. So, but do you like the choice, Lauren? Do you like him?
I think he's going to make great TV. That's the thing. People, you know, they always have reactions from fans one way or another. Some people wanted another guy. Some people don't like this guy. But if you look at literally, I interviewed Chris Harrison, the host, about this, and he said, look, the guy's got great storyline. He's a virgin. And yeah, he has owned up to his choice. He said, look, this was important to me after getting some backlash online. And because, you know, quite frankly, just because people are like, oh, he's a guy. A stereotype in our society, so that'll be an interesting thing for him to discuss with the women. He is a former football player, good looking guy, started his own charity for cystic fibrosis. He raises money for kids because his cousin and his family has it.
Yeah, you're right, Pete. So really lame.
That's all going on.
Yeah, the guy sounds totally lame. All right, say hi to your mother.
Hey guys, thank you so much.
Say hi to your mother.
Well, I was going to say thanks for letting me. Hi, Donna. Hi, Mom. Because this is truly entertainment tonight. Like I've said, she's okay with it. Me being on WGN, this is what makes her life, and she knows she's proud. So thank you.
Yeah, this is what made your career. I don't doubt it. All right. Thank you, Lauren. Have a great weekend.
You too.
She's the best, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah, we love her. Hey, I have tickets for you. Tickets for you right now for Legally Blonde, the musical. Joe, they have to be blonde. We can't do it that way. You have to have hair. Can't do it that way either. Legally Blonde, the musical, the high fashion kickoff to the Paramount Theater's Broadway season, now through October 21st. Caller 7 wins them. Get your tickets at ParamountAurora.com. Call the box office 630-896-6666. And in the news in a moment, Steve Stone coming up. Also, when you download podcasts from this show, make sure you get the good stuff. And the good stuff today includes Dan Hampton. I mean, most of the good stuff is between 6 and 10. But Dan Hampton was on, and he used the word vituperation, which for an NFL lineman is bonus points. So that's just one of the podcast clips you can pull up anytime when you listen to this show.
And I would do that on the WGN radio app. It's the easiest way.
It's all right there.
Go to Steve Cochran Show and then podcast.
Endorsed by you?
It's 100% endorsed. But that's how I listened to the other parts of the show and our podcasts.
And that's when you sent me the notes on punctuation?
Yep.
And spelling?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get you too excited, but next hour I will pick my new Apple. And I don't mean computer. I mean an actual Apple.
Edge of seat.
We boiled
What's
it down.
What's it going to be? What's it going to be?
Boiled it down to three.
People are actually waiting on this to make plans for Apple picking this weekend so that they know which one to pick.
This is it.
What were my three? Do you remember? I forgot my three.
Guru, Ganga, and
Ina. Akiku.
Akiku.
Agala.
Agala. Agala. And a Fuji?
And a Fuji.
Akiku, Agala, and a Fuji walk into a bar. That's all coming up.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A great year in the air. Dick Lutt just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
We're trying to
Back
get
to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Anna. We're trying to get a Food Network show pitch called Where's Steve Eating Today? Where we just follow Steve Stone around and see where he's eating today.
Yeah.
So if there's a camera behind you, Steve Stone, you'll know why we're trying to pitch the pilot.
Well, if there is, it's probably going to be Beatrix because it's a good place for breakfast. Doesn't matter what location you go to. I prefer the one on Clark, but outside of that, everything is just delightful there.
All right, so question. You played on good teams and you played on bad teams. When you're winding down a tough year, is it tough to go to work or, you know, you remind yourself, hey, I'm pretty lucky. I'm playing baseball for a living, so let's just get the most out of these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, you certainly think about that, and there's a couple of other things you think about depending on the kind of year you're having. If you're having a good year or you've come back from injury or let's say things didn't work out the first couple of months but they're starting to work out now, you just don't want to see the season end because you're starting to play the kind of baseball that you thought you would play. If the team is bad and you're having a bad year, then it can't end too soon. Then you're ready to put 2018 in your rearview mirror and look on for the next year. And I think that all players should, if they don't, do an evaluation as a season grinds to a halt, and that is figure out what you did well, figure out what you did poorly, figure out what you can change, figure out how to do that, and then get yourself a game plan going into the winter time that will hold you in good stead during the winter so that when you come back next year, you come back, one, healed from whatever it is that was bothering you, and two, you come back with a pretty good idea about how you want to attack this coming season. I think if you can do that, you can make the season productive because you always throw out the end result because that's already predetermined, the end result, and you figure out how you got there, and then if it's good, you try to duplicate it. If it's bad, you try to change it.
Steve, we saw Michael Kopech endure his first taste of adversity at the major league level the other night. What do you do for a young player who hasn't? Now, obviously, he's had games like that before in his baseball career, but when you have it at this level for the first time after he had pitched so well his first three times out, what do you do for him?
Well, the next time out, you take a look at something that will be dependent on what happens going forward, and that is you figure out why he was throwing 93, 94 miles an hour. That's the first thing that jumped out at you is that fastball just wasn't there. The velocity that we've seen averaging close to 97, that wasn't in attendance the other night. That's one of the reasons why he kept on throwing a lot of those fastballs. He kept on getting hit so hard because there wasn't a whole lot of movement. There wasn't a whole lot of velocity. So if you can convince yourself that it's just one of those nights, then you don't have anything to worry about. If he comes back next time throwing the ball as well as he can throw it with the same kind of velocity and movement, then you just ascribe that as one of those things. If, in fact, that velocity is going to stay like this, then you think about perhaps shutting him down because you're not really getting anything out of watching him go out there and throwing at 93. Mm. So, again, you have to figure out, is the arm tired? If he's feeling 100%, then it's just a question of maybe this first full major league season, which was concentrated mostly in the minor leagues, but still, his first full season might be getting him down a touch, and so you let him regain his strength, come back next year, and go for it again. But that will be determined next time out, not with what he did last time. We know the results of what he did last time, and I think the Sox are going to have to figure out why the velocity on the fastball wasn't there.
And Kopech is just one of the pitchers struggling this week. Lucas Giolito as well couldn't get out of the second inning. Is this just normal for us as Sox fans to expect? I mean, right before that, you saw a run where we were getting all jacked up about the starting rotation. This starting rotation can't be touched. We're winning games. This is the future. And then a week like this happens where you start seeing both of our big pitchers have trouble.
Well, you're gonna see these guys have periodic trouble throughout, and you know, it's just a question of the inconsistency of younger pitchers. They're still younger pitchers. They're not gonna go and make this a blip-free ascendance to their rightful spot, you know, commanding some rotations around baseball. This is gonna be a very good rotation. You just can't expect them to be outstanding every time out. Doesn't really work that way, but that's what happened with Lucas after a long run. I mean, he had a long run of throwing the ball very well, so I don't worry much about him, because for him, the velocity was okay. He just had one of those days where it just didn't work for him, and we've seen that on occasion, but not for a long time from him. I would assume that Lopez is going to have one more bad outing before it's over for him also, but you know, we can't lose sight of the fact that they're still very young pitchers. That's going to breed inconsistency. We don't know in this their first full season in the major leagues, we don't know if fatigue is getting to be a factor or not. But a couple different pitchers, you wouldn't think so. Especially with Rodon, you wouldn't think so, because he's not having a full season anyway.
Right.
But in the case of Giolito, the case of Lopez, these are full seasons for them, and you never really know when you're going to grind down somewhat.
White Sox and the L.A., California, Anaheim, San Luis Obispo Angels.
Yes.
Starting tonight and through the weekend. Dave, I got one more for Steve. What do you got?
Well, I would, since you brought up the Angels, unless you were going to ask about Shohei Ohtani.
No, that wasn't on the list. You take it.
Okay. So Sox fans are going to get their first look at Ohtani in town tonight, Steve. You've seen him play. You've watched him. Pretty unusual. You would think that here's a guy who's pitched, not pitching because of injury, apparently needs Tommy John surgery, but he's going to continue to swing a bat. Are you surprised that in this situation they don't go ahead and get the surgery done if he needs it as soon as possible?
No, I think they would probably want to see him swing the bat a little bit more, get some ABs under his belt before the end of this season. Personally, I was very concerned about. I mean, I want to see him be successful. I'd like to see him throw and hit both. If they can do that, I think it'd be very difficult to do that. But I do believe that when he comes back, and if he decides he wants to pitch again, they ought to take that splitter and put it into the scrap heap of history and say, you know, you can win without this, because I think it's destructive, especially when you throw around 100 miles an hour, which he does. I think it's one of the things that's consistently hurting his elbow. That's just me. As soon as I knew that he had persistent elbow problems, it wasn't just this season. It was the last couple of years he's had some difficulties, and this year it's really shown itself to be a factor. I think when you throw as good a curveball as he throws, and then you add a splitter to it, you put an inordinate amount of pressure on the elbow. For me, if you're going to have him pitch, you just discard the splitter. And I don't know what exactly they're going to do, but, you know, this is not the first time he's hurt his elbow. It's about the third, I believe. And I think that a great deal has to do with the velocity he throws and the splitter he's throwing. So, for me, this guy can make a living as a major league hitter. He's good enough to do that. He's very strong. And, right now, I think that's probably the best way for him to do it. And I don't blame them getting a few extra at-bats, from him. If they're convinced that he can't hurt it any longer by not pitching, then, you know, there's plenty of time to get the surgery and rehab for next year. It's going to be maybe another 2 or 3 weeks difference in his rehab by letting him swing the bat this late in the season. So, you know, it's still going to be a year plus till he comes back from Tommy John surgery.
Baseball fights are legendary, where players will yes. run out from the bullpen and grab a guy and hold him back just to make sure he doesn't get involved. And then he'll do him a favor next series and hold you back. But it's rare when you hear about the broadcaster fights. And a couple of nights, it's just a rumor, it's alleged,
mm-hmm.
when the Tigers were in town,
that that Tigers TV guys, is it Mario and Pemba? I don't know. Mario and Rod Allen supposedly got in a physical altercation after the game. Now, Steve Stone, I am quite sure there are times where you thought I could push Harry out of the booth right now and still get away with it. Is there tension? 162 games, you're sitting next to the guy. I would assume tension builds up. It seems like it's probably normal.
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly normal to have tension build up among two guys who are spending more time together than they are with their families. I mean, you know, you spend a full season with your partner, and you're there all the time. You're there home, you're there road, you're there, you know, it doesn't matter if they're late night flights, you're there for doubleheaders, for rain delays, for everything that goes with it. And more times than not, you know, you're going to have some disagreements with whoever it is your partner, but they don't come to any problems. And let's this is a hypothetical situation, but let's say that the argument came over something as little as a chair in the booth. And you both made a claim for that chair, and one person got it when the other person thought he had it. And, you know, this wouldn't be the first time that this would have gone on over the course of the year. This is a hypothetical situation.
Totally hypothetical.
But if you did, and then if one of the guys had to kiss the game off at the end,
right,
and the other guy then had the opportunity to wait in the hall for him to discuss whatever it is they were going to discuss, then you have a problem, especially if nobody was around at the time. And assuming that one of the other guys might have gone as far as to, let's say, choke the other guy, you could see where one of the guys would be very unhappy and the other guy would have been very mad. But it was fortunately broken up before there was a great deal of residual difficulties. However,
but it was a good chair. I mean, honestly, it was a really good chair.
This is hypothetical.
No, but this is again, I don't know anything for sure. But if you were going to go through a hypothetical, this would be one of the hypotheticals to go through.
Yeah.
And again, this kind of stuff does happen, only you hope that it comes into the talking stage of getting this together.
And sure.
Maybe you flip for the chair. Maybe the next day you give the other guy the chair.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know how it works out. But, I mean, you know, like, it's understandable. You just hope it doesn't go to those places. And I'm sure the Detroits will take care of what it is they have
to
take care of.
And Dave and Ted, you've had counseling for years kill each other.
You know, this is our 25th year working together in the Northwestern booth. We don't talk off the air.
Yeah, no, why would you?
No.
That's ridiculous. And we all remember when Vin Scully slapped the crap out of Don Drysdale. I mean, come on.
That never happened.
Yeah, these things can happen. Don was too big to be able to get involved with, but there's some smaller broadcasters you might want to take on, you know, older broadcasters, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Stone on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Again, where are you eating today?
It's probably going to be Beatrix because it's breakfast, okay. And, that's a good spot.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. And go get those angels and knock them off and slap them around. You know, it'd be a cool kid's book for Steve Stone to write. The Hypothetical Chair.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's a lesson. It's a lesson on sharing.
And we all go to the bookstore and watch him in the rocking chair read
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember back in the Showcase studio? We kind of had some fights over chairs. They're not you and I, but chairs would leave the studio.
John Williams and Teddy Roosevelt punched me, and I didn't see it coming because Teddy Roosevelt sucker punched me.
Yeah, well,
yeah, call
it's all over a chair.
Yeah.
Why am I giving Williams such a hard time today? I love John. John's doing a great job.
John was out at the interview show last night.
Oh, he did come out.
Yeah, it's amazing to see all the GN talent. There were some WGN fans that were out there that were just blown away by Lou Manfredini and John Williams.
We got to get you out to one of our stand-up shows. Let's see what you're really made of.
Let's put you up
on stage and make you flop sweat for a few minutes.
I don't want to compete with Steve Cochran.
No, it's not just me.
And Sean DeCoste.
Toomey.
No, you guys,
Rocky.
You guys are the pros.
Come on, man.
I'm just hanging out. I hang out.
We're going to drag you up for one of those. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Gozanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
9:13, Shea Rhymefest Smith. He's not here yet, but he will be officially in a second. Right now, he's looking out the window going, we're high.
This is a nice view.
It's a great view.
We're high.
Even on a cloudy day. And we are very lucky to have, amongst our great partners, Bartolini's. And Sandberg, you brought your Bartolini's friends in today. For what reason? Just to say hi? Just to have them hang out a little bit?
Well, they are the new sponsors of the Hamp and OB show. which is kicking off.
Oh, nice.
Well, I don't know if it's kicking off this weekend. Did they do a preseason?
They actually
show?
No,
it is kicking off this weekend.
But they did an unofficial, but they had a preseason too. Didn't
best
they do a preseason?
No, Chicago Radio.
They haven't been on yet?
No, this is their season premiere on
Sunday.
Well,
have they been pre-eating to get ready?
Well, they're in training.
Okay. That's my main concern.
They've just been yelling in the bathroom.
And so Chris,
eat and yell.
Chris and Dominic brought in their 10-pound meatball sub.
Unbelievable.
This is the big one now. This is the challenge. This is the Bartolini's 10, yes?
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody.
All right, tell me how it works. How does a challenge work?
Well, the challenge, if you can finish, is 10 pounds. A pound of bread, 5 pounds of meatballs, a pound of peppers, pound and a half of cheese, pound and a half of red gravy, and if you can finish it, you get the sandwich for free. And right now, we're working on a new challenge. We're working on a one-person and a four-person challenge, and top prize will be $1,000 starting out.
I was going to say, if the only prize is that you get the sandwich for free, that's not enough for me to go through the what looks to be the agonizing.
Well, you're obviously not a committed athlete.
What if I throw on a T-shirt for you?
I'll say now we're talking.
Winner.
Yesterday, we were talking about this sub coming today, and I was saying that I thought that I could possibly do this challenge.
No, stop.
Or I for sure could do it as a two-person challenge. But now that I'm seeing it in person and it's stretched all the way across the counter here in the studio.
It's 10 feet.
I don't think I can.
3 feet.
I'm not even sure I can get one. The meatball alone, one meatball is like the whole size of your fist. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how much I can actually.
The coolest thing about this is people order it for parties. So we do it
for
football games. People having they come in the restaurant for a kid's party or a graduation party. They go out the door every day. So it's not just for,
slice it up
for the contest.
I was going to say their address, but I want to hear one of them say it in their accent of where they're located.
Yeah, give me pull that microphone right up next to you and give it to me in your best Chicago. Where are you guys?
We are Bartolini's Restaurant. 14420 South Pulaski in Midlothian, Illinois.
That's right, Pulaski. You know where Pulaski is? It's over by there.
Not Crawford.
Yeah. Nothing but trouble on Crawford.
That's right.
So this means every week when we come in on Monday, it's going to smell like Bartolini's because Ham and OB get food.
And, the leftovers.
Yeah.
And now you guys probably don't know this, but you are saving lives because Ham and OB each year kill several interns who don't bring them food. So you're saving lives. You're sparing human beings by bringing in the great Bartolini's.
I got a text from Ham yesterday afternoon. Is there going to be food or do we need to bring food? I'm not kidding.
Dominic and I will bring the groceries. They don't have to worry about
He's thrilled, I can tell you.
And you don't want to make anything as large as Hamp angry. No. You know what I'm saying?
That's for sure.
And these meatballs are famous. They've been on the Travel Channel, Food Network, and even in Germany, they've been seen on TV. And so you can order them anywhere. Like people listening that don't live here in Chicago.
We ship all 50 states. So if you go to our website, www.bartolinis.com, go to the mail order menu. And use the coupon code at the end, Bartolini10, get you $10 off. We've shipped from Fairbanks, Alaska, all the way to Key West.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Well, this will be, all 50 states. There's going to be some Bears-Packers parties this weekend. This is perfect.
Some Bears parties this weekend, absolutely.
Yeah.
No Packer party.
They have Bears-Packers, because it's Bears-Packers weekend.
They have a couple of hashtags, and one of my favorites is Eat More Meatballs.
Right.
Because everybody should eat more meatballs.
No, you want to make America great again? Do that.
Meatballing.
It is a work of art, this sandwich. I have to say, you guys, looking at this, I'm like, I don't know why anyone would do cold cuts ever again looking at this. Or pizza or anything.
Hamp is
going to
be happy with
that's
this.
That's an amazing sandwich.
I mean, even our T-shirts, we got the Chicago flag, but instead of stars,
she got the four meatballs.
That's right.
Dave, you'll be happy to know they brought you some salad as well.
Oh, great. I have to ask you, has anyone actually eaten the complete sandwich?
Multiple people.
Really?
Yeah. Who's
the legendary big eater for Bartolini's? Like a regular somebody that comes in.
Well, for the sandwich, the record for the meatball sandwich is by Molly Schuyler out of California. She ate the sandwich in 6 minutes and 51 seconds.
Come on.
All by yourself.
We got it on video. It's absolutely insane.
Go to Bartolini's.com. Watch
six
the video.
6 minutes.
It's awesome.
Not for the weak stomach. it's not a beautiful video, but
we have a lot of people come in.
But it's a video.
What we've learned is the bigger they are and the louder they talk, the worse they do when they attempt a sandwich.
Yeah.
So bring a team of four. See if we can have a little bit of fun with it. Restaurants open 7 days a week. We got 16 cool draft beers on tap. A lot of them are local.
Good.
And we're in the middle of a big expansion. We're adding about 50 seats to the dining room right now. So we're really excited.
That's the video right there.
He's got the video right there. There's Molly.
And, again, sponsoring Hampton OB. and their friend Kaz too, all season long.
All season long.
So
she's not like huge. I mean, she's
105 when she walks in, and she's 115 when she walks out. That's her joke.
And I think you've got a gift card.
I do. $50 gift card to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets, family owned and operated. By the way, how old's the restaurant?
24 years.
All right. Family-owned and operated. Located at 144th and Pulaski in Midlothian. And home of Chicago's best meatballs, 708-396-2333. As they said, shipping to all 50 states. Use that code Bartolini10. You know, the other thing about Bartolini's is you don't have to go, how do I spell it? It's Bartolini's. Come on. For $10 off your first shipping order at Bartolini's.com. Guys, thank you very much.
So is that the 24th caller since they've been around for 24 years?
That's a good call. Yeah, it's okay. A good call. 24th call.
We're going to get that gift card.
You guys. We look forward to it. It's going to be a good year.
Yeah, thank
very
you.
Excited.
And by the way, she doesn't let food in here. The fact that you guys
I know.
Got
I know. They know
us.
That this
no
is
a
crack the code, man.
Bartolini meatballs go everywhere.
Yeah.
And they go however you dress, up or down. Bartolini's balls are always.
Well, as you can see, I always wear a tux to work.
It is amazing.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, 920. Again, that's Bartolini's, Bartolini10 and Bartolini's.com. Don't forget that code, Bartolini10. Shay Rhymefest is here. We got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I have some mayor's race. We'll find out what the next mayor of Chicago needs to focus on to be an efficient mayor for everybody in the town.
So not just an artist,
yeah.
A guy who's active in the community and cares about this city like he should and like we should. And we do.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Shay Rhymefest Smith here. It's kind of mean we had the Bartolini sandwich in here.
We took it away.
And then we took it outside.
Hey, throw that instrumental. Turn that instrumental
crank
back
that
up.
Crank that
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it like this. You know I got to do it. Come on, y'all. You know I stand tall. We hanging in the studio with Bartolini's balls. We out here, and you know it's so clear. You can see a good view right across from Navy Pier. I hear you laugh. People want the autograph, and I'm here with the staff, and I'm rocking on behalf of WGN. You know we about to win. I'm hanging with my man Justin because he is my friend. F-R-I-E-N to the D from the C-H-I-C-A-G-O. The way to go. It's Ryan Fesson. I got the flow. Let's talk about the issues right now. Skip Judge Kavanaugh. Hey.
Whoa. Nice.
That's good stuff.
Now, here's what you don't know. Dave Bennett wrote that.
Dave.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Dave wrote that.
Right. Dave wrote that.
Good to see you, Jay.
What dude, up? You were on it.
Come
on it.
Every time I come, I got a little on top of the mind.
Before we start, your schedule is, I mean, you are going to the Toronto Film Festival because mm-hmm. you're in a new film that, is it premiering there or is it?
It's premiering at the Toronto Film Festival.
Amazing.
This weekend.
And
yes.
then on tour.
Oh, wait, what's the movie?
It's called The Public. It's written and directed by Emilio Estevez.
There you go.
Co-starring Alec Baldwin, Gabriel Union, a lot of people. Yeah, Jeffrey Wright, everybody.
Nice.
Emilio.
Nice.
I know.
Emilio!
This is a highly anticipated film. And then you start a world tour.
Yes.
Coming up next week with DJ Jazzy Jeff going to...
We're going to three cities in Brazil. We're going to Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Europe. We do these world tours like all the time.
You have a good time when you go on the road?
I learn a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell
you. You've lived a life. You're not a little kid anymore. You go to a foreign city. Do you actually look around, do a little touristy thing?
I actually leave the hotel and I don't go to McDonald's or the beach.
Yeah, there you go. You actually want to experience that.
But I know people that have traveled the world and haven't seen anything.
Yeah, exactly right.
Mm.
Yeah. Hotel, airport.
Show. And bye. And then you ask him, you know, how'd you like Paris? Well, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Paris.
Yeah, you haven't seen anything.
I think you always know that when you've been at a show where the artist says the wrong city, it's like they haven't left their tour bus or the
home. Is that a rap for you, Jay? Have you ever
I love
the
Detroit,
you
but you're in
that?
Dubai.
You ever done that?
Yeah, you ever got the wrong town?
You ever got the wrong town?
No, but I will tell you what. I've gone to countries where I did not understand the etiquette of the culture. And so, you know, when you're in Dubai or Abu Dhabi, you probably shouldn't take your shirt off and, you know, spin around your head like a helicopter.
Yeah, that's probably not great. That's probably not great.
So
the security will come on stage.
But music's international. You don't have to speak the language. Music's international.
And you know what I find? I'll tell you another thing. Hip-hop is international.
Yeah.
I mean, hip-hop is telling people how to dress, how to walk, what to think, you know? And it makes you think, what should we be using these gifts and skills and access for? And it makes me want to use my gift in a more responsible way.
For you, you have won a ton of awards. You've got a Grammy. You've got
two Grammys.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I've got one of them.
Academy Award winner for co-writing on Selma, right?
Yeah.
And you have done tremendous things and done so many things we talk about around the world. But Chicago is your home, and you know this is a big time for us as the mayor steps down. There's I've seen a lot of your writing in the last couple days about what we should expect from a new mayor, someone who wants to step up. What are your thoughts on that? What does this mayor have to do to be a good mayor in Chicago?
Well, first of all, let me tell you what the mayor doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a black mayor. It doesn't have to be a female mayor. It has to be someone that loves the city.
It's got
to
be a great mayor.
It has to be a great mayor that serves all the people, that has a track record of serving many communities. I don't want to see a candidate just when it's time for election. If the only time we see you is when it's time for election, you're not a Chicago. Chicago is made up of communities that create a city.
Right.
It's not, for the last 50 years, we've been dealing with a day of one sort or the other. For the last 7 years, we've been dealing with a Rahm who's continued the policies of the last 50 years. So for the last 60 years, almost 100 years, Chicago has been dealing with the same type of thing. What I did like about the Dailies is that they were Chicagoans. That's something I didn't like about the current mayor that we have now. It just didn't feel very...
'Cause he was gone for so long. This could be his town, but he was gone for
some. And I don't know, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know that he's from Chicago, if we're going to be honest. I don't know that, I love Winnetka, I love all these places.
I see what you're saying, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I want a Chicagoan.
And you don't care if they're black, brown, white, whatever.
I don't care what it is. I want you to love the city, and I want you to have policies and platforms that are beneficial for all communities.
Right. Well, the point I always try to make to people is I don't care if you're from the poorest neighborhood or you're from the richest neighborhood. Everybody wants the same thing.
Exactly.
You want your kids to be safe. You want them to be happy. You want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. You want to have a shot to live your life.
Our sports teams would do better if we had better. Have you ever noticed how leadership kind of trickles down into the way all things run?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You can always look at an employee and tell what the boss is like.
Yep. Yeah, go in reverse order. Exactly right. Amen.
For you, you got into Chicago politics back in 2011. You ran for alderman in the 20th ward.
They elected a guy that got indicted.
They did elect a guy who got indicted.
I wouldn't have gotten indicted that fast.
Would have taken a little while.
Yeah, it took at least.
Did that experience open your eyes to
not
Chicago
stealing,
politics? Huh? I mean, did it open your eyes on what it takes to be a leader or a politician in this town?
It did. Running for office let me into the dark corners of Chicago politics. So people talk Chicago politics from this broad mainstream, broad stroke view. When you see it from the inside of a preacher's pulpit, when you get in the back room with a minister and they say, are you trying to be a leader? And you have to say, no, I'm a team player. And they say, good, because we don't need leaders. You know?
When you see,
don't worry about the people this Sunday. I'll go out. I got them. What we need you to do is tell us about the grants. And when you see
who's
unions
make it
play
rain.
Both sides, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you see it from the inside out, you start to realize that politics in itself isn't what's going to change this city for the better.
But that's why I'm always screaming about people voting. You got to vote. You got to go out and vote. There are people out there who can affect change. But if you leave it the way it is, all you're doing is bitching.
But what you're assuming is that voting is up to an individual. I think voting is a communal activity. And if you have communities that are all in disarray because they're being moved around and buildings and condos, and you don't have a solidified community that can really come together and decide what's best or who's best. I think one thing the politicians have done is kept people in such disarray that they control the process by disorder and chaos.
It can be, but that depends on the person. You still got to get up and vote, man. You got to take responsibility. If you're
but
grown
if
up
you
in this town,
know
you got
to
go.
People do vote. Somebody voted for Rahm, and then afterwards they were like, oh. People vote. The problem is our votes, we don't feel like we're getting what we're voting
for. Well, that's because you got to do a little research. You got to do a little homework. You got to go out and find out. You got to go see people. You got to go talk to people. You got to find out what they're made of.
Yeah.
Other than somebody that's a Chicagoan, there's no perfect candidate because they're human, and so by there we can't have any perfection. But what would be the things, or the top two at least, that you think need some attention that haven't been given attention?
The new mayor's top two to do.
Top two to do. Number one, obviously, we have a policing issue in Chicago. And we have a policing issue because we have fear on both sides.
Yep.
The one thing, and let's remove race out of it. The one thing I keep hearing is fear. I was scared for my life. I'm scared of them. They're scared of me.
Yep.
So what do we do about the fear in Chicago? And there's fear of people going to one side of town from another side of town. People aren't able to access the city that we say is ours.
Right.
So what is this mayor going to do, or the new mayor going to do, to help everyone see that we're all going through a similar challenge?
All right, what's number two?
Number one, let's deal with the fear of the city. Let's bring people together as one. Number two, it seems like we always have these budget crises until we want to build something, and then we have the money. I want someone who's transparent. This city has a problem historically with transparency, and I think we're going to keep repeating the same issues we've been having from day one until we can be more transparent.
Amen. Open the books. You ought to be able to walk into City Hall and say, show me the books. Show me the books. Show me the money. Can you hang around a second?
I will.
Because we're late, and I don't want to be late because I'm never late. Hang around a second. Let's go to the headlines and then more, Shay. Just a second.
WP time.
All right. Here are the news. Sponsored by Townsend Financial.
I meant Whacker Drop.
Here's Steve Grzanik.
Thanks, Justin.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Shay Reinfest-Smith in studio with us. The Grammy Award winning, the Oscar Award winning. You've got an Emmy, right? You're close.
No, I was nominated for an Emmy. I was nominated for an Emmy, you know.
But and then with Tony, we're not sure yet on
those. Those things, yeah, you know. I got an ego, not an EGOT.
Reinfest, a great Chicago musician, educator, as well as an activist. You ran for office.
I don't like the word activist.
Advocate?
I just think people should have agency over themselves. And I think every time you hear activist, it's like always one kind of community, one kind of person, one kind of thing, you know. And I just don't see myself. Is, you know, activists, like, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not selling.
Well, you're interested in too many things.
Yeah.
You're not a one-lane guy.
I'm not a one-lane guy. And, and activists, to me, is just, I don't think I like activists. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I like activists.
Right.
Because sometimes that in itself becomes the show.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah, totally agree.
The Bartolini people asked what you were doing besides your music, and I told them that you were a disruptive uniter.
Yes.
Wow.
That's great. Strong.
I love it. That's the name of my next album.
That's good. That's good.
They kind of looked at me like, well, what does that mean?
No, that's good to handle. Lock in on that.
I kind of want to be like the Dos Equis guy, though. Like, I think I'm going to go, like, become a police officer or, like, learn how to do five other different things. You know, we can live, like, five different lives before we die if we try.
If we try.
You don't think you're the most interesting man in the world already? It's a lot of pressure, but it's you.
I only know one language. I couldn't be.
There you go.
No, but as long as you got hip hop, you speak every language.
Chicago's got an interesting couple weeks here. Here comes the trial for police officer Jason Van Dyke for the he's on trial for murder for the shooting of Laquan McDonald. This is something that a lot of people are kind of walking on eggshells about what this means for the city, what it means for different communities, what the verdict might do. What's your take on this? You're a Chicagoan. You've been around. You've had relationships with
the police.
But what's your take on what's about to happen here in Chicago?
Okay, again, I got to bring this back up. What do we keep hearing? I was afraid for my life.
Yep, fear.
Fear, fear. You know, we want to look at our officers as courageous. But look, I live in a house that's about 100 years old. Sometimes there are creaks in the house. And if I didn't know any better, I might be afraid that that creak that was the house settling was something else. I think that this is a perfect example of why officers should know the neighborhoods and know the people in the neighborhoods and know the names of the people in the neighborhood so we know, does this guy have a mental problem? Is he dangerous? Is he not dangerous? The problem we have is when you put officers in foreign situations and they are afraid. And another thing officers say, and I'm taking officers' words, this is how I was trained. And I was afraid. So how are they trained? Why don't we know really what the officers training? Are they trained to shoot? Are they trained to kill? Because all of them are saying they are. So I'm not going to blame each individual officer. Let's not look at the referee. Let's look at the NFL. If there's a problem in the NFL, let's change the rules of the game.
Yep.
Not the people who make calls or make bad calls sometimes, because that is how they were trained to make the calls.
There's right. Some would say, and officers have said this as well, that it's a two-way street, that there's a mass disrespect that's happening in some communities where we haven't seen that ever in American history, this idea that, you know, a police officer says stop and they say no.
Have we not seen that ever in American history? Yeah, like, right. Let's not, like... So I would also say this, you know, I live in a neighborhood where people call the police when there is a crime and they end up being the ones getting arrested. I live in a neighborhood where police will come to your neighbor, to your door for a complaint and tell you that the neighbor called on you. Now you're in danger when the police leave.
Is that where no snitch comes from? It's not just fear, it's trust. Lack of trust.
Well, you know.
Which goes both ways again.
When you're dealing with an American history of police abusing people in a community, how can those people ever feel safe calling the police to protect?
That's why getting cops in the neighborhoods and letting cops get to know the people in the neighborhood and the people know the cops is so important. And budget cuts, a lot of that got pulled.
Well, I would also say, too, a lot of police in my neighborhood aren't the police of my neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I got officers that live across the street from me and around the block, and they may be policing up north. Why aren't they policing in the neighborhoods they live in?
Complete sense. By the way, Texter says, who is this guy? I love him.
Not how it goes.
Let's make him run for mayor. Sounds refreshing, what he's saying. Don't know if I agree with everything, but he sounds great so far. Yeah. So, sorry, dude.
We don't got to agree with everything.
No, listen, okay. I know you've had a good run, and you got a tremendous career, but we need you to run City Hall.
You know what? I would love Chicago to win, and I would love to help whoever wants to be the mayor and they're qualified, man.
Ambassador of common sense.
Man, let's just help somebody.
Okay. Similar to how Meghan Markle gave up acting to go be a princess, Shay could give up his music career and acting to come be a mayor.
Yeah, somehow I think he could figure out both.
A sitcom.
And
about I this.
Promise to not be indicted until after I leave office.
There you go.
Anything you want to see, man? All right, we got to run. Anything you want to plug?
So basically, I have an album out right now with Jazzy Jeff called M3, Magnificent 3. Okay. You can go get it for free. Oh, that rhymes. M3, go get it for free. Jazzy Jeff
that
and
down.
Me.
Write that down, Dave.
Got it. Got it.
The movie and everything.
The movie,
else,
The Public with Emilio Estevez. It'll be out soon. Go watch the trailer and go get the DVD called In My Father's House, where I never knew my father. I found him after 35 years of homelessness. I bought the house he grew up in. We built the house as we built our relationship.
That's a great story.
Let's fix our families.
Amen. Good to see you, man. Thanks
great
for doing this.
Great to see you always.
Do you like apples? What's it gonna be?
Yes, the time has come. Powered by ComEd, powering lives. It's time to choose the apple. The playoffs are complete.
The decision, 2018.
That's it.
And our apple porter I just saw was taking a picture of Shay Rhymefest and Jasmine Bill Wendy.
With the apples?
Yeah, with the apples. So the apples are delayed and coming in.
All right, now we had a playoffs this week, and each day I selected one apple to move to the finals. These are the final three apples. Much to the chagrin of you and Dave Ennett, the final three apples are the Fuji, the Gala,
and the Kiku.
And the Cujo.
The Kiku.
The Koru.
And the Kiku.
We should play the game. Apples or NFL linebackers?
Dave was talking bad about a Kiku in the break. He ate a bad
That sounds
Kiku.
Like a Shea Rhimefest song. Yeah. Talking bad about a Kiku.
Yeah. Well, right, we should have had just
him,
a bad one.
Yeah, we should have had him freestyle.
Right, I have three apples here. Jam. I don't know which one is which.
So
totally
these
blind
taste test. These are the finalists.
These are the finalists.
Cut.
All right, Dave, call it.
This is going to be your new Macintosh.
All right, Steve. Here we go. Clutching the apple in his right hand, brings it to his mouth. And the bite.
I felt like I couldn't even hear the bite
chew.
Of that one.
And Steve is chewing and groaning a bit.
It'd be a soft apple. Or apple
there
soft.
Isn't much sound coming from that apple.
Dave in it with the call.
Here we go.
Apple right. number two.
All right, Steve's ready for the second apple.
I picked a bad time to run out of water.
Bit of a delay here, and he brings the second apple to his mouth, and a nice loud crunch. Good sound from that bite.
And finally.
And here is the third apple. Third apple for
chewing.
Steve.
Wait, he still has second apple in his mouth.
I got first apple in here, too.
Yeah, but it's almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah, he's not cleansing palate. There's no cheese in here.
What the heck? What do you... There's a...
This is a bit of a smaller apple in
I think we can
stature.
Agree it's the prettiest of the three in color.
We'll let the analyst
judge
decide.
By the,
and another
like.
Loud bite by Steve.
It's what's inside that counts.
Steve's slowing apples. His chewing now, going a bit more slowly. He seems to be savoring.
You want to experience it as you're choking to death.
So you're telling me nobody brought in a wax apple to get this guy with the fake apple.
Where's our pranksters on this show?
Come on.
Some pranksters.
10 seconds left on this apple. Better hurry.
All right, I believe I've come to my decision, but we'll announce it in just a second.
Do you like come back apples?
And by then, hopefully, I'll have finished chewing the three apple bites man. I have in my mouth.
All right, we have a timeout. We'll be back with the final moments of this apple competition
sponsored
after this.
Sponsored by ComEd, powering lives.
Also, I believe the newsroom thing has to be read.
That's good.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
I like to eat, eat, eat apples and bananas.
Oh, the banana off.
I like to eat.
Oh, they're fairly similar. Yeah, they're fairly similar. Apples
and make that pay-per-view.
I want to say hi to everybody at Kuiper's Family Farm in Maple Park. YouPickFun.com. They've offered to bring us in apples, donuts, and cider this fall.
Huh? So say yes.
Great.
Yeah, that one I'll say yes to. I love apples.
So. You like donuts? You like cider?
I do.
I have determined the winner.
Ah,
do so we have a drum roll?
This is your new Macintosh.
It's my new Macintosh, my new go-to apple. And by the way, I'd like to thank the network coverage this week. I'd like to thank everybody that stepped up. I'd like to thank all the people that were involved in the Apple Off.
Satellite trucks.
Why didn't you get Apple to sponsor this?
We thought about it. Yeah, but they said, don't call us again. third place apple. The third place apple is...
You got to unblindfold it. Oh, are you going to make me do it?
Yeah. I love the blindfolded apple bit.
Right?
All right.
Blindfolded apple.
We can't have the apple see what's happening.
The third place apple is...
The Gala.
The Gala! Oh. Third. Well, that's a shock to me. The Gala, one of your more popular varietals.
Now, do you do an America's Funniest Video style here and do the first place or
first
second
place?
It should have been second place and then... Yeah, but anyway.
The second place apple.
Gala was 4-1 in Vegas.
The second place apple. And by the way, I mentioned this off the air a second ago. The second place apple, if the first place apple does not fulfill its duties during the coming year of being my apple of choice, the second place apple, this one becomes my new apple.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Or second place apple. If they're
the
out
Dick Cheney
of your first
of your
choice.
Second place apple is. And I don't know the answers.
All right. This is going to be a little more challenging.
Oh, the label's sticking to the electrical tape.
This is not.
The blindfold
this is like Steve Harvey in the pageants.
This is, I could make it up, but, well.
We're still figuring out.
This is hurting my thigh,
second
guys.
Second place apple. We're going to need some forensics on this.
There we go.
I've got it. It is a Fuji.
No!
Fuji was
second.
Surprise,
Dave.
We know what this one is.
The winner is?
The Kiku.
The Kiku! The Kiku is the winner.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Steve's new apple, the Kiku.
He's Steve. Oh. Is
how did
have
you
to
rig this?
Flavorful.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It is just like you.
A lot like me.
Just like you.
The Kiku.
Yeah. So Sandberg wins.
The Kiku and me. No, she was Kanzi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I am Kanzi, but the Kiku is of the same family, so I'm okay. And plus, I just want him to walk around and saying my favorite apple's a Kiku.
So here's the problem. Do you have to go out of your way to find a Kiku? Or is it?
I've never seen a Kiku.
No, they have. I had a refrigerator full of them.
You see me going into Jewel going, where the hell are the Kikus?
Where are your Kikus, right, please?
God, it's an emergency.
Jerk.
It's a Kiku emergency.
Is
where are they?
Is this your apple, Dave, the Kiku?
No, mine was the Koru. That got voted down. Yeah. I think that may have finished last.
It was fixed, yeah.
Steve Cochran turned into a fruit jerk.
Yeah, yep. Dave and I are not happy about how this went, except for that at least he has to say Kiku.
Kiku and Koru are Pete Zimmerman's pandas. Do you know that?
Is there a kookaburra?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
I'm going to finish this apple and just sit here while you guys are doing the show.
All right. That won't be distracting at all.
Please do.
I really have a good weekend. You didn't thank anybody for last night?
I just want to say for everybody last night, all the WGN people came out, Kurt and his wife, and met Trish, and met, I think it's Carol. There's a lot of great people. But I wanted to also...
And Lou Manfredini came out and saw you.
Lou Manfredini and John Williams were there as well.
Kiku.
But I want to say to you, just congratulations on finding your apple. I think that that's the most important thing that happened this week in
You're more complete as a person now,
Well,
Steve.
You know, in the life of a boy, finding your apple is one
finding
of those milestones.
Apple.
Yep. You'll always remember this day.
Moment. Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And Dave, I'd like to thank you for making the call on this.
Yeah, I haven't signed off.
Oh, yeah.
Reporting live from the Apple Tasting, Dave Bennett, WGN Sports.
Northwestern football tomorrow when?
Tomorrow at 10:30. There will be no apples.
Sandberg, what are you doing this weekend?
We're out of time.
Mm.
Wow.
So no plans?
That's sad.
All right.
Thanks for being here. And Bill and Wendy are here now. What are you doing?
A lot of things.
All right, start the show.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 Crunchy, WGN Chicago.
I didn't get apple juice on the mic. I
worried about that all week long, if it was sticky.